and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. There were a number of legal defeats for the president today. One federal judge gave the administration 2 days to release billions in foreign aid. Allison Keyes reports.
A group of businesses, nonprofits, and organizations that do foreign aid work argued at an emergency hearing that they had been forced to stop their work because of President Trump's executive action.
Another judge ruled that federal assistance must be unfrozen, and another blocked his effort to halt the nation's refugee admissions program. Union members held a rally outside the Department of Health and Human Services building. White House spokeswoman Caroline Levitt called the message to many confused federal workers on reporting their activities simple.
The president defers to his cabinet secretaries, who he's obviously entrusted to pursue the guidance relative to their specific workforce.
On Wall Street, the Dow finished 159 points higher. CBS News Brief, I'm Cammy McCormick.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Portage County officers were able to reunite a family thanks to Project Lifesaver. Derek Tritz has the story.
Equipment from Project Lifesaver was key in locating a lost youth this past weekend, according to the Plover Police Department. They were found in a dumpster behind a gas station by Officer Travis Sutton. The child has cognitive disabilities that make them prone to wandering into potentially dangerous situations. Project Lifesaver provided them with a small personal transmitter that allowed the local Project Lifesaver agency to locate the child and send a trained emergency response team to the child's general location. Within an hour of being notified, the child was safely helped out, treated for cold exposure, and returned to their family.
One-third of Americans lack access to regular doctor visits in the U.S. 1 in 10 people have diabetes, and nearly a quarter of those are undiagnosed. The American Red Cross is working to help inform those who don't have access to regular care by offering free diabetes testing to donors during the month of March. The free A1C testing screens for diabetes and pre-diabetes. This valuable information can help you maintain your health and well-being. You can schedule a donation in March to receive this free testing by visiting redcrossblood.org or by calling 1-800-RED-CROSS. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has introduced legislation that would allow Americans to import prescription drugs from Canada. According to a press release, the goal of the bill is to lower the prices of those medications and increase access for consumers. They're also hoping the bill will create more competition in the pharmaceutical market, forcing companies to lower the prices of similar prescription drugs in America. The bill has some bipartisan support from Republican Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers are in Indy. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens at the NFL Scouting Combine in Indianapolis, where over 300 of the top college football players will work out and interview with teams. Packers GM Brian Gutekunst, doing interviews with the media, asked about free agents like defensive end Myles Garrett or wide receiver Davante Adams. A number of Wisconsin Badger players here, like Jack Nelson. College basketball, Wisconsin slipped from 11th to the 12th ranked team in the nation in the AP Top 25 after that loss in overtime to Oregon. They play Washington tonight at the Kohl Center. Marquette now ranked 22nd after losing four of their last six games. They host Providence tomorrow night at 6. The Bucks on the road in Houston tonight against the Rockets. Baseball, Brewers outfielder Blake Perkins says he was taking live batting practice against Freddie Peralta when a fastball struck him just below the right knee, fracturing his shin bone. Perkins expects to be out until early May. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
United Way of Southwood and Adams Counties invites all women to join us for the 13th annual Power of the Purse, Tuesday, March 12th at Bullseye Golf Club from 5 to 7:30. Power of the Purse is a fundraiser to support early grade literacy hosted by Women United. There will be a purse silent auction, raffles, and great food. All thanks to our diamond sponsors, Alliant Energy, Kinexus Cares, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Paul Gross Jewelers, Walker Cranberry, and Williams Plumbing and Heating. For more information and to purchase tickets, visit us at uwswac.org or call 715-421-0390. We hope to see you at Power of the Purse.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky, some rain showers tonight, and lows in the low 30s. Any rain wraps up early tomorrow, mostly cloudy and mild, highs in the mid-40s. In the low 40s Thursday with a mix of sun and clouds. Near 50 Friday and breezy. Right now it's 48.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Folks, I'm talking with Jill Rosenthal. Trump is proposing to make incredibly drastic cuts to the NIH.
The National Institutes of Health, the state receives almost $600 million. That pays for over 7,000 jobs in Wisconsin and accounted for almost $1.5 billion in economic activity in 1 year.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
Trevi Olson joins us.
There's a hockey game tomorrow night between Canada and the U.S. Everywhere up in Canada when they were playing the game, the U.S. was being booed. Imagine how you would feel if your neighbor were constantly saying, I'm taking your backyard. You would find that very serious. That's what's happening around the world. We are going to have no friends, period.
That matters.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Todd Alba.
Hey, everybody, join us next time. Our old friend Trigvi Olsen from the Lincoln Project is here, along with State Senator Sarah Kayeski, talking about a right to repair bill. Join us.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, February 25th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. At 4:30, we're going to talk to our friend Ashley from the Family Center. Looking forward to talking with her. Right now, we got our good friend Promise in, Marketing Communication Director with the Heart of Wisconsin Chamber of Commerce. Promise, good to see you.
Good morning.
Thanks for being here. And we want to welcome in as well Kelly Kramer from Aspirus Hospitals and Clinics. Kelly, thanks for being here.
Thank you.
We will be talking with you in a moment. Promise, we got a number of things to get to here, as you guys are always so busy over at the Chamber. Let's dive right in. We got our legislative breakfast right around the corner. This is a big one for us here at the station and for you guys over there, our community, really.
Yeah, so our legislative breakfast is happening on March 21st from 7 a.m. to 9:15 a.m. at Mid-State Technical College. This one's really a great one. Just come and join us, have some breakfast, and this is the opportunity to hear some updates from legislators and local community representatives. There's also an opportunity for us to take some questions off the floor for them, for those that are attending. This is a members-only event, so if you're a member, registration is now open. It does close March 14th. The sponsors for this one are U.S. Bank, Findorf, Ho-Chunk Gaming Nakusa, Enbridge, Domtar, and of course, Mid-State Technical College. We couldn't do this without our sponsors, so thank you guys. If you need any more information about this one, you can register online at wisconsinrapidschamber.com or give us a call at 715-422-1830.
When does registration wrap up for this, though?
Registration closes March 14th for okay. this one.
So you want to make sure to get on over there and register before then, everybody.
Yep.
We are very proud to be chamber members here at Civic Media. And with that, Melissa is going to be down there for that event covering mm-hmm. it. A shout out to Melissa Kay and the great work she does. And very proud and very thankful that she is down there because this is a big one for our community.
Yep.
I do want to let the audience know, too, though, it's a big one for our representatives. I have mm-hmm. Senator Teston and Representative Krug on with me once a month and talking to them on air, off air. They love these events. They love this opportunity to be face-to-face with their constituents. These two, I cannot speak for all representatives or all politicians, but I can with these two that I've talked to for almost a decade now in this show. And these are guys that whether you agree with them or not, they want to hear from you.
Right.
And they want to have an adult conversation. And
right.
and these listening sessions that are currently going on, including the legislative breakfast, are vital to this whole thing, this whole experiment, this whole thing we're doing here with democracy and our society. We need this, and we need to get back to talking to each other like adults.
Right.
And if anything, not just for democracy and all these other things, just because it's the right way to handle this.
Right.
And these listening sessions are just as important to our representatives as they are to us. Here's an opportunity to look somebody face to face and ask them, hey, are you doing this? Hey, what's going on with this? Why is the sky blue? Whatever your
yeah.
questions are, everybody,
yep.
You can go ahead and ask this stuff and they want to hear them. And a big shout out to all these sponsors and again to Mid-State as well.
Yeah.
Keep in mind, you got until March 14th to sign up for this one. So be sure to do that. We'll give you more information on how you can do that and more, find out more about what we're talking about today. In just a little bit. Promise we keep moving. We want to talk about a big job fair coming up in our area.
Yes, so we have our Careers Unlimited job fair happening on April 2nd. We are having this one over at Lincoln High School. we are now, well, booth registration is now open. So if you're a company or a business out there that is looking to hire, I highly recommend getting in on the booths at this event. There's going to be a lot of like students, kids coming through in the beginning, and then we are opening it up to the public for, you know, people outside of Lincoln High School to attend this event as well. The booth registration deadline is March 12th. And that can be found online at WisconsinRapidsChamber.com.
Promise, is there any sponsorship opportunities still available with this one? No, there isn't.
Actually, we just sold our last one this morning. Yeah.
See, now for the audience, look behind the curtain a little bit. This is one of the few times as an interviewer where it's a win-win. Yeah. I didn't know the answer to that one. Usually don't ask a question, don't know the answer.
Yeah.
But I could play this either way. we need sponsors. Hey, we want to bring somebody in. This event is so popular, you don't even need more sponsors. You're right. Covered.
Yep.
Like, that's a good thing.
Yep.
Just speaks to how popular these job fairs are and the need for them.
Yeah.
I love the... First off, love my old stomping grounds at Lincoln, so I'm a little biased on that one. But I will say I love hosting this at Lincoln. I know going to Lincoln and them having job fairs, how impactful they could be and how many opportunities it opened up for me and a lot of my classmates. That's still the case to this day. The uniqueness of this one where it is for them and then opening it up to the public a little bit later. So they have an opportunity to kind of make the rounds, kind of get a chance to, I don't want to say have first dibs, but getting an opportunity to get face to face with people again and how impactful that is. Certainly for any connections, any jobs that they could create. That's that's really important.
Yeah.
But I know this from a lot of the teacher, the students that I have teaching or just in general talking to my kids or any people, anybody in that 20-year age range, you know, from 20 on up and younger on up. They need any reps they can get, any experience they can get face-to-face. They need more of that. So while it's great if they can make connections, maybe they get a spark and they get a new career interest. Oh, I never even thought about this or something. Those are all great things. They can't lose from this one just in that interacting and getting some experience doing that.
I would totally agree with you on that one. Job hunting nowadays is pretty cumbersome with all the different apps and the ways to find and look for jobs online. And this is just an opportunity where there's going to be hundreds of jobs in one room and you can be, oh, I really want to go work for so-and-so and make that face-to-face, you know, connection right away off the bat there. And I think that's something very important that, you know, the younger generations should continue developing as well. As you know, as technology evolves,
they have so few opportunities. When we were kids, you know, we thought nothing of going in for a job interview. You were going to be there. You're going to see this person in person and everything. Yeah. Now there's so much on the phone and so much online that any reps they can get, having some face to face, having some people, it builds those people skills. And which they are going to need no matter what job they go into in life. So there's a win right there with that. And to these businesses and these people having these booths, it's the same for them on the other side of it. They have so few opportunities to see people face to face or to really build this kind of pipeline that used to exist a lot more, and it's still there, but just needs to be, I think, you know, solidified a little bit more of the idea of going from right from high school to a career. So much of that is kind of gone a little bit, and some for good, some for bad. I think this is an opportunity to kind of hit on that a little bit more and really reach somebody right away and hopefully spark that interest or give them an opportunity to, you know, hey, this isn't maybe your the path you want to take, but it can help you get to that path. And this is a stepping stone in that regard. There's so many things that you can say that you can't really say in a job resume or a job posting that you can really talk about in face-to-face. That's another part of the importance of this. And again, I really do love the idea of that. Of it's kind of two job fairs in a way, with one for the high schoolers and then opening it up to the public. We all understand that there are people all age ranges looking for good work and looking for careers nowadays. Here's an opportunity for that. While the sponsorships are taken, we have all the booths covered as well, too, right?
No, we have some openings for booth registrations yet. You can register online at WisconsinRapidsChamber.com in our workforce tab. If you drop that tab down, you'll see where you can select the registration for that. I don't have the information with me right now, but I think it might be like $35 fee if I'm thinking about a different event that we're having. But then we also do have options if you need electricity with your booth, if you have any kind of equipment that you need to bring in, we have options where you can select electricity too as well. And I think there's only like a handful of booths spaces left.
Yeah,
so if you're interested, definitely give us a call and get registered.
That one I feel pretty confident about.
Yeah.
This fills up really quick.
Yeah.
And there are there's this combination out there of people looking for good careers and people wanting people for good careers.
Yeah.
So that's not surprising at all. I do encourage you, if you're a business out there, to reach out to the chamber and get one of those booths before they all wrap up and everything. Networking at Night is one of those events that you guys host that you do such a great job with. And it's another one of those events that I hear from the community all the time about. People usually, even if I didn't remember that you guys had an event, the very next day I'm hearing about the event. It's been a lot of fun doing this one. You got a new one, another one coming up.
Yep. But I want to go back to the one we just had because I think it's something worth mentioning. We did have it at Mid-State Technical College in their Gourmet Cafe, and they had their culinary arts students make little, what do you call it, appetizers?
Oh, yeah.
And then they, like, carried the trays around the room and had us all sampling them. It was really good, and I was very impressed with how they pulled their night together. I highly recommend going to check out their culinary program. I didn't even know that they had one until then. Mm-hmm. Well, I knew that they had one, but I didn't know it was, had evolved to that point of carrying, you know, appetizers out on trays, and I was very impressed with that. Our next networking at Night is on March 17th, and it's going to be at Paper City Savings Bank here in Wisconsin Rapids. Have you had a chance to see their new facade?
Yeah. And I haven't been in the building yet, but I'm just going past it. It looks great. Looks like they did a really nice job with it.
Yeah. I was there for their ribbon cutting when they, you know, opened it, and it's like, it's beautiful inside. So this is one that I think that everybody should attend as well. It's on 8th Street in Wisconsin Rapids. It's open to members and future members. So if you're a small business in town and you're looking to network and make connections with other business owners or just make connections in general, this is a really great one to go to. I don't know how many times I see people making connections and walking away with like a partnership of sorts, or let's make those plans in the future and let's create this event. It happens a lot of times at this networking event. We also have raffle prizes and little snacks and, you know, desserts and stuff like that that'll be happening. It's on March 17th from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. It's open to all of our members, future members, or if you're looking to start up a business or just don't really know what's next in life, you stop on in and, you know, we'll have a chat with you and help you make some connections with this one.
You know, I was talking earlier about people skills and building on those. There's no age that you can't, you know, get better at that. And every one of us can always grow and get better at that. And that's a nice, fun part of this event. As we're getting closer to warmer weather and everything, and I don't want to say that too loud and Mother Nature to hear me and immediately hit us with snow, but it is getting a little bit better out there and we're getting out of the house a little bit more. These events are great for that, too.
Yep.
And then there is the key part of this that you touched on there about the just the networking and the synergy that can happen from this event. We've already heard, we've got examples of this on our own radio station of people that maybe hadn't thought about advertising with us that did, or people that didn't think of working with this business that did, nonprofits working together that wouldn't have before. The conversations that can happen if you're just in the same room together.
Yep.
You know, and you just never know. That's endless possibilities when it comes to that.
Mm-hmm.
And I love when this happens with events where there is no downside. There is no negative side effects, may include. There is no side effects. There's none of it. You get out there and you have fun and you have a good time. And maybe you don't make a connection or you don't find a new avenue for your business. You still got out, had a great time, did some, you know, socializing and stuff. And we could all use more of that.
Yeah. And even if you haven't been to one in a while, I think it's important to show up, especially to this one, you know, just your presence, you know, and it keeps you in people's, you know, the back of their mind,
yes.
You know, awareness of like, oh, yeah, so-and-so from this company was there and I just got done talking to them. And then, you know, it's really, I've seen great benefits of this on both sides of it. So
it's a great point. That's a really good point. And I don't want to get too far and not mention raffle prizes. People love raffles.
Yeah.
Got to mention that.
Yep. Yeah, we every single time we have networking at night, we bring two $25 chamber gift certificates to raffle off. And then the host business, which this one would be Paper City Savings Bank, also provides raffle baskets. And I cannot wait because they have some really good swag.
Yeah, they do. Yeah. They go all out over there. Shout out to them hosting this. And, you know, one thing that I don't know if I this is on me, I don't bring up enough with you, promise. If I'm a business out there and I'm hearing this and I'm like, oh, I'd like to host one of those. That sounds like a lot of fun. Am I able to do that? Can I reach out to you and find out more about that?
Yep, definitely reach out to me. You can call my line directly at 715-422-4856. But I do have to mention that the rest of 2025 is booked. The next available host night is in January of 2026.
I'm sure there's a business out there. I'm positive that it's like, oh, darn it, you know, or whatever. Yeah. But I'm excited for that. That's a good thing. That's really good to hear. And it, again, speaks to the popularity of these events and how well they're doing. Yeah. That's great. And keep in mind, everybody, we have scratched the surface of things going on in our area and events that are going on with the Chamber. I encourage you to find out more. They got an amazing webpage. Head on over there to their webpage and get under the events tab, and you will see exactly what I'm talking about. There is so many cool things going on over there, Promise. I'm surprised you have time for this interview, how busy you guys are over there.
Yeah.
I do appreciate the time that you're able to, and always appreciate the focus we're able to put with guests and when you bring somebody in. And we want to speak with Kelly right now, and we have Kelly Kramer. Am I saying that right, Kramer?
Kramer,
okay. Kelly Kramer with us right now. And Kelly, I want to talk to you about cold fusion and the... No, I'm joking. I'm just messing with you. I'm so
Let's
sorry,
go.
Kelly. That's the right attitude. That's exactly what I deserve. Kelly is here to speak about the ACE Leadership Program, and she is a participant in. This is something that we've talked about a lot, Promise, and talking about this great program that exists in our area and reminding businesses out there of how helpful this can be. And I'll let Kelly speak to this a little bit more because she has actually experienced it. What are some of the things that you have covered, some of the things you were doing as part of the ACE Leadership Program, Kelly?
Well, a lot of just different skills and tactics to help change leadership and really help employees be the best that they can be and just promoting that wellness.
One of the things you're covering, the government service sessions, that can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah. So recently we had our government service and we had that right at the courthouse. So we got a tour of the jail and really learned a lot about local government as well as the next chain of events of the rest of government. And it was really interesting to learn about how people actually got into government.
Yeah, that part, that would be interesting, that one. One of the things that is unique about this, too, is the opportunity to kind of dip your foot into other worlds. I do want to, before I get too far along here, I do want to thank you and shout you and your team out over at Aspirus. Anybody working in healthcare, we appreciate so much the work that's being done there. It's one of the more vital things going on in our community is going on in our healthcare system, and we don't shout you guys out nearly enough. So I do want to do that. But being able to, here's hoping that you don't have a lot of experience with this other side of things and getting a chance to kind of see some of that world. And not just that, but I imagine, Kelly, some similarities, some parallels between what you do and what they do, whatever what they might do. Seeing that connection, that empathy there, hopefully exists both ways, and they get a little more understanding of the healthcare industry and some of the work that you do.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Kind of the foundation of any sort of organization has the same organizational structure to a point, and just figuring out how that relates to what you're doing. And you can take little pieces always from different things and use them in your day-to-day.
This is a really cool program and a really great opportunity for people in our community. It is one of those things, when we talk about leadership or talk about growth, there's not necessarily a test you can take or a number count or something like that. You were at this percentage and now you're at this percentage. It's something you feel. So when it comes to that, Kelly, do you feel that you have grown from this or taking these classes and being a part of this session and this?
Oh, I definitely have grown exponentially since starting this class. I am new to leadership, so taking this class has really helped me communicate better with my staff and just be the best leader that I can, even though I'm still learning myself.
If you don't mind, I don't like to pry too much, but what kind of work do you do? Can you tell us a little bit about the work that you do?
Yeah, so I'm the imaging manager at Aspirus Riverview. So all of the imaging tests, X-ray, CT that you may have done, all of those things kind of go under my leadership abilities. Pretty much any time someone may come through the ER or has any hospital stay, they likely have had some sort of imaging, and so that would be under my department.
Appreciate that work. And thank you for sharing that. I think for some people out there, that might be new or something that they hadn't thought of before and everything in the healthcare system. So right there is an opening, not just for this class, but for even our audience, understanding a little bit more of the different layers there is in this industry. And understanding a little bit more of that only helps, I think, only helps create more empathy and more understanding when it comes to it. And especially when we're talking about the healthcare industry and how important that is, that empathy. In understanding. We have an opportunity with the program like this to let people into windows and avenues promise that they normally might not see. Very similar to networking at night and some of the other things that you guys do over there.
Yeah, I know. I remember I did actually take this course when I first started working at the chamber, and I remember feeling like I crawled out from underneath a rock by all the exposure that this program provided me. And it was a well-rounded program at the time. And I know they've made some changes, like adding the accreditation for a mid-state technical college. I'm tempted to take it again because I want that accreditation. But yeah, I've definitely learned a lot from the program as well.
I've thought about it myself. Yeah. I've thought about it quite a bit, especially we've been talking about it for years on this show.
Yeah.
It feels like one of those things I almost have to do a little bit. And honestly, if I'm there is I love learning. I don't care what the subject is. I don't care what it's about. I just love to learn. So that part of it seems very intriguing to me. Mm-hmm. But honestly, it sounds like so much fun, too. Like the learning part of this and learning about these different things. Like there's no downside to a program like this. Mm-hmm. This is a great one. And when it comes to this program, we do want to encourage people to be on the lookout for when it comes back around, because registration for this current run is wrapped up, is wrapping up. But there is going to be other opportunities.
Right. Yep. So we'll probably launch the registration forms for next year's when we get closer to the end of this program. I think that's April-ish, if I'm mistaken. April, May?
Yeah.
April? I get my months mixed up.
Well, and like you said, well, as we get closer to it, we'll be certainly encouraging people to look more into it and to register for it. But it doesn't hurt to keep this in the back of your mind and be ready for this one when that does come around. Because if you want your employees or you yourself want to be a part of this program, it does fill up quick. I do want to let people know that. It does fill up pretty quick, and understandably so. Kelly, when it comes to doing this and in your experience with it, would you recommend it for other individuals and other people to be a part of?
Oh, absolutely. I've learned so much from it, but then also the networking piece. Just getting out there, putting myself into different things that I wouldn't have signed up for in the past, or even socializing with different people at different companies that I didn't really think I had anything to relate to them with. We've learned so much of how we all are very interconnected within the community.
Yeah.
And now you got radio credit. Now you can say you did radio. You got to check that one off the list. She's almost too naturally good at this. Yeah. I need this job, Kelly. You stay in your industry. I'll just stay in my. No, we do appreciate the time so much. Thank you again for everything you and your team are doing over there in the healthcare industry. We appreciate Promise. We appreciate you bringing Kelly in and, of course, all the great information you bring to us. If people have follow-up questions and they'd like to know more about some of the events we talked about and everything, how can they reach you, Promise?
They can always check out our website at wisconsinrapidschamber.com, or they can give me a call directly to my office line at 715-422-4856.
Be sure to do that, everybody. Be sure to bookmark their webpage and go ahead and like their stuff on social media, share their stuff on your pages. You just never know who might see it otherwise. Promise, Kelly, thank you again for the time.
Thank you.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
Every story matters. And the Civic Media Radio Network is celebrating Black History Month by honoring the powerful stories of Wisconsin's own trailblazers. Meet Reggie Jackson, the Milwaukee historian and teacher, travels the state sharing Black history while challenging what you think you already know.
Invited to all these communities around the state. These people don't know much about the African-American experience, and so they asked me to come and share some of that with them. To talk about things related to African-American history, race and racism, things of that nature. I've been to over 50 communities around the state of Wisconsin. People like the message that I send. They think it's credible information. It's been one of the greatest joys in my life, and it's been a great journey. And I've appreciated all of those folks that I work with in all those different communities engaging in conversations about really important things to them.
Listen for more inspiring stories all month long. I'm Terry Barr.
Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Thank you for listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Now join us anytime by finding and following our Twitter, Facebook, or Instagram pages. We want to hear from you there, too. You'll also find social media links for your favorite shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
The Badgers.
Fades Max, fakes the three, takes the three. Left side, yes, sir.
Fades.
Pivots, fades, flips, good again. Just outside the left elbow.
Here.
Goes up, got it. With the right hand, it counts and a foul.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM WFHR, streaming live on the Civic Media app.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. There's a lot of money pouring into Wisconsin again for the state Supreme Court race, but it seems those creating the ads aren't even sure who's running. Savannah Tolmay-Olson has more.
An error in one of the first ads in the state Supreme Court race after Elon Musk's group got involved. He's the major donor behind Building America's Future, which will spend $1.6 million in supporting conservative Brad Schimmel over liberal Susan Crawford. One of their first ads says, quote, "Susan Crawford is wrong for Wisconsin," end quote, with a photo of her. But there's one big problem. It's the wrong Susan Crawford. The one they included in their ad, Susan P. Crawford, is a law professor at Harvard. And when you look up Susan Crawford on Wikipedia, you end up on the professor's page and you find that photo. Crawford's campaign called it shameful and a fraud and said, quote, "Wisconsinites shouldn't trust a single thing from these guys," end quote. Now, this comes after another ad issue a few weeks ago where the Schimmel campaign ran a spot with an edited photo of Susan Crawford that turned her smile into a scowl. The Schimmel campaign admitted the photo was edited.
As a measles outbreak continues in Texas, health officials are warning that Wisconsin kids have one of the worst measles vaccination rates in the country. According to the Department of Health Services, only about 85% of Wisconsin kindergartners have gotten both doses of the measles vaccine. That is the second lowest percentage in the country, with Alaska as the only state ranked lower. The NFL draft in Green Bay is Wisconsin's Super Bowl, and it's in just 58 days. If you don't want to drive or stay in Green Bay, you can take a shuttle from Wausau. Visit Wausau is joining Minocqua and offering a shuttle that will take visitors straight to Lambeau Field. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Even bad reviews, word of mouth, and almost a 70% drop-off from its first weekend of release couldn't knock Captain America: Brave New World from number one at the box office. The film took in a little over $28 million at theaters this past weekend to remain atop the feature film leaderboard here in the U.S. The most recent Marvel film has now brought in $141 million domestically after a $100 million-plus opening last weekend. Big drop-offs for Marvel films are becoming a bit of a concern for Disney Studios. Ant-Man and Wasp, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, and Thor: Love and Thunder also saw big drop-offs from weeks 1 to 2. In the number 2 slot this past weekend was The Monkey, a gory thriller which pulled in a little over $14 million in its debut weekend. Another win for Neon Studios, which released the surprise hit Long Legs last year. Rounding out the top 5 were Paddington in Peru, which finished in 3rd place, Dogman was in 4th, and Heart Eyes finished in 5th place. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. A cloudy sky, some rain showers tonight, 10 lows in the low 30s. Any rain wraps up early tomorrow, mostly cloudy and mild, highs in the mid-40s. In the low 40s Thursday with a mix of sun and clouds. Near 50 Friday and breezy. Currently 49 degrees.
Reviewing the week's legal news with a friend of the court.
Well, I'm looking forward to Saturday morning. I haven't missed one. Outstanding. Just like being in school.
It has been a week in the areas of law and government and the aspiration for justice in America. As always, I am delighted. I am honored that you have chosen to spend some of your weekend time with me in discussion.
Amicus, a law review with Jim Santel. Saturday mornings from 9 to 11.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke.
Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
Pat Kreitlow.
While I continue my, finger quotes, work retreat for Up North News, Chad Holmes will be filling in on Wednesday doing double duty ahead of his Wausau show.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Tuesday, February 25th, 2025. Have your host, James, here with you. And we're joined right now by our friend, Ashley. She is the Violence Prevention Specialist and Advocate over at the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. Ashley, good to have you in studio. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me back. Good to be here.
Always appreciate the time. We want to shout out our Wisconsin Rapids Family Center right away. A big thank you to you and the staff over there, all the work that you guys are putting into our community. Greatly appreciate you. I would like to think that even if I wasn't a board member, I'd be saying this stuff, and I am not alone. I'm merely a megaphone for this community, repeating what I'm saying and appreciating so much of the work that's going in to our community and to our people in this area. And one of the more vital things that is going on, Ashley, you are on the front line of when it comes to our kids and teens. And for those that don't know, Teen Violence Prevention Month is going on, and we want to talk a little bit about that and what that is.
Yeah, so every February since, actually, it's been 15 years this year, so it started in 2010. February was recognized as Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month, so we just use that month to spread the awareness, talk about how important it is to, you know, start healthy relationships, good boundaries, good respect, and then just, you know, keep on remembering it throughout the year, but February is just that month that we hit it a little bit harder.
You know, this is certainly an issue that doesn't have an age discrimination. We've seen that, whether it's in the news or the stats, young and old can all be, deal with this, for lack of a better way to put it. Well, we also understand, I think, more and more in our society, if we can reach people when they're young and build good habits when they're young, whatever we're talking about in life, whether it's, you know, just a work ethic or it's not smoking or it's something along these lines, we see the stats for this one. We see improvement in these things. We see a betterment in these things.
Yep.
While some of this subject matter can be a little opinionated, there's things like this that we just see the numbers. The data shows us that when we reach kids when they're younger, we see an improvement in those households. We see improvement in that age range and that. So part of what the importance of this is ending this cycle. Is stopping this. So many people dealing with domestic violence, it's something that they learned, that they, for again, lack of better words, inherited from a sibling or a parent or something like that.
Yeah.
But reaching young people, like reaching adults, can be difficult, even on this subject matter. Boy, trying to talk to teenagers,
yeah.
I do it all the time, and it's difficult, Kelly. Ashley, it's not one of those things that is always the easiest. So on that front, how do you approach this subject when you're first walking into this conversation with teenagers?
Yeah, so every situation's kind of different. It depends on what the group of students is involved in. Usually if they're in clubs that are already spreading kindness, it's a little bit easier to throw out the pitch and idea of respecting people. But I've presented to kind of any and all groups of teens, and really I'll just kind of try to bond with them right away, maybe crack a couple jokes that they know about. Just share some kind of like common interest that we have. And then I kind of just dive right into the seriousness and hope that they roll with me. And it's been working out pretty well so far. So I can't complain.
If you got it, you find something that works.
Right. Yeah. You got to roll with it then.
Especially in this regard.
Yeah.
When it comes to the feedback from them, are there certain questions that stand out or certain things that they're saying that maybe we wouldn't know about? Especially my kids are in their mid-20s. They're out of school. The people that were a little more removed from the current school and that.
Yeah. There is a question that kind of comes up often, and it's relating to the idea of like consent. And it's not so much what consent is, but what consent is not. So I think a lot of people are being told that like no is no, and that's all that can mean no. But there are so many other things that mean no too, like just freezing, not saying anything, you know, your body becoming stiff. Kind of avoiding whatever the topic is that's coming up as well. So a lot of kids don't know that all of those things also are not counting as consent.
It's something I think adults could relearn too. That's a really, really important one to mention. I'm really glad you brought that up. And again, I think that's good for young and old, but incredibly impactful when it comes to young people. Again, it's rewiring some of these habits and rewiring some of the thinking that we have with some of these subjects. Especially when it comes to this one where as adults, you know, we try to remember what it's like when we're younger, and it gets harder and harder the older you get. But one of the things that I think remains true is the idea that, well, being young is tough.
It is.
No matter what the decade, no matter what the era, it can be difficult. And I hope, and I ask this all the time of my generation and older generations, to have some empathy for the younger generations when it comes to certain things we never had to deal with. I got picked on in school, like a lot of kids, but I got to go home, and I got picked on by my dad. It was a little thing between us, but it was a sanctuary. I at least knew that there, even with my dad picking on me, it was in jest. It was in fun. I had that relief. I had that break. Kids don't really have that anymore. Like, they go home, and there's social media waiting for them right there. And there's so many other avenues for these kind of things to happen. For us to understand some of this stuff, these questions and some of this goes a long way with all of this. There is no one trick to fixing these things. It's going to take work, and it takes a lot of layers. And certainly putting a focus on respect. And that is the theme for this this particular Teen Violence Prevention Month. It's a great word. It's a great song.
It is.
But it has a lot of deeper meanings to it as well.
Yeah. So the theme is always made up by Love is Respect. I don't know if you've heard of them, but they are an agency and organization, pretty national, I think, at this point. That's focused on like teen dating, violence, healthy relationships, boundaries, consent, safety planning. And it's for teens. It's for even younger than teens to start learning. It's for adults. It's for caregivers. It's for teachers. It's for everybody. But it's just a great website that has all those resources. It also has a hotline as well for teens to use. Can I plug that number?
Please do.
Okay?
Yeah.
Perfect. The number for that hotline is 866-331-9474. And if you just Google search Love is Respect, you can find their telephone number, a chat feature on their website, and then also a text feature as well. So just wanted to plug that out there since it's a great resource for anybody to use.
A really nice one, too, when it comes to if you need something in a pinch, or you need something right this second or something like that, information or just support or any of those things, it's right there. It is a really good website, and they do a nice job with that one, too. And when it comes to the theme of respect, certainly one of those things that most of us understand, well, you know, respect is earned, or respect this, or respect that. We all grow up with phrases or an idea of what respect is. I don't know that we focus a lot on, I think when it comes to the word respect, we're either looking at it as we want respect, or the idea of where we're supposed to give it. I don't think we think enough about actually like zooming in on that. And specific types of respect. And I think one place I'd like to start, if you don't mind, is the respect for yourself.
Yes.
This is one that took me a very long time to learn. And understanding that, and not only respecting myself, but loving myself, to be blunt. And it took me into my 30s to be able to do that. But I love the idea, one, of kids getting on that earlier and everything, and not having to wait that long, because you shouldn't have to wait that long. But I think it's a good place to start when it comes to respecting others. It's hard to respect anybody else if you don't respect yourself.
You really have to learn about yourself, honestly, like learn about what you like and what you don't like, what you do for others and what you like that others do for you. And then once you start to respect yourself, love yourself more, care for yourself more, your heart is just going to be able to open up to another person and get everything that you're putting out into the world, into that energy, get all of that back times 10.
And all this stuff is what leads to a healthier mind, a healthier relationship with not just, you know, with a significant other, but just with friends,
Anybody. Your colleagues.
The reason we're getting to all these things is because of the end result that it can bring. Is that. And the Part of the reasoning, again, statistically, for some of the issues with domestic violence stem from this, stem from trauma, stem from, victims hurting, making victims in some of this and other factors. So if we can get kids young at a young age, respecting themselves, respecting each other and their classmates and all this, you know, those numbers go down.
Yeah. And I mean, it's definitely work for the teens to do, like to respect themselves and to, you know, show that respect into the world as well. But it's the same thing for like us adults, us parents. We have to be like modeling that as well so that they know actually what respect looks like and not just the idea of it, but the actual like actions of respect and what that can look like person to person.
It's, and we think about this, I think, with young kids, but it's up until their early 20s that the brain is still growing and developing and is still a sponge and is still soaking in all this information. You can talk till you're blue in the face about something, but if your actions are doing something else, that's what they're hearing. Mm-hmm. That's what they're picking up on. It's such a great note of the example we set as adults, the example that we set in society is oftentimes where things go and can lead to. And we are finally at a place where we're talking about this stuff in a raised voice. Mm-hmm. We're not hiding in the shadows anymore. We're not being quiet about this subject. And the good amount of society is backing this, is on the right side of history with this subject. Now is the time not to take our foot off the gas, but to press even harder and to make sure that we're really hitting on these things while we can, to be blunt. I don't know where things are going to go in the future or anything. So right now is the time to be doing these things, to be on this. And obviously the Family Center understands that and Ashley understands it, but I'm speaking to you out there, that this is the time to be part of events going on at the Family Center, to invest in the Family Center. And I know that it's called a donation. To me, it's an investment. It's an investment in the greatest thing we can invest in our future. However you feel about this stuff, the stats don't lie. You look to your left, you look to your right, more than likely you're going to see somebody that has been affected by domestic violence. That's the numbers. And the more we can reach kids, the more we can promote events like or themes like this, respect and everything, it's not just them that get better, but hopefully we get better.
Yeah. I am a really big, I just think of the idea of you put out into the world what you want to see. And so if I'm putting out all this positivity and I'm talking about healthy relationships, I'm talking about respect, I'm talking about, you know, letting people be their own person, I would hope that that's what the world is going to be filled with. And that's kind of the way that we can start to change the path instead of always talking about the negatives, always talking about the violence. Yes, that's important. The numbers are large, and that's all that we know of from the numbers as well. There's probably hundreds of more voices that haven't been heard in those numbers. And I just want to shine that little like light of hope, that positivity of the sense of, you know, we can respect each other, and that's what's going to help us prevent violence in the long run.
You fit right in around here. It's a big part of what we try to do as well. You know, covering the news can be kind of dark sometimes and negative. We really try to, I have a thing where I try to wrap up every segment on a high. Every segment on a laugh or a positive or something. And it's just, we're just one small station, you know, in the middle of a big conglomerate. But we also believe the work we do and the work that you guys do and the more of us that do this and put that energy out there, you get what you put in life. You just do. Whether we're talking about work or we're talking about something like this, you get what you put in. Mm-hmm. You put good vibes out there, more than likely you get those back. And you put it at the very least, again, there's no downside to something like this. There's no side effect to it.
Right.
Putting good karma out there has never had a downside.
Yeah.
So that alone is a good feeling and a good way to do this. When it comes to the theme for the month of respect and talking to teenagers about this, what are some of the ways that you're working to kind of build that in them and help them support that and the understanding of how important it is to combat TDV?
Yeah, it's really just talking to them like about like what respect actually is. So what is the mindset of like your viewpoints and whoever this other person is? So again, it doesn't have to be a romantic partner, but just somebody who maybe has a different viewpoint than you. Like, hear them out, listen to both sides, you know, still stand firm in what you believe in, but let your mind be open to hearing other things. And then if you do have a disagreement with it, you know, respectfully work around that with each other. It's a lot of talking about like, it's not just give and give and give out to people. You want to make sure you're getting that back too. So if it's kind of, you're pouring out all this greatness and all this healthy work, maybe it's not going to be worth it if you're not getting even a little lick of that back. And then it's really just talking to them about, like, really learning who, again, who they are. Like, who do they want to be? Who do they want to help support them in the long run? Friends, family, romantic people, whatever that might be. And they really seem to like the idea of respect and the idea of healthy relationships, just because I don't think they get talked about it in depth at school. They get told to respect each other. They get told that healthy relationships are the best, but they don't really get to see what those look like.
Yeah. Our education system has a lot on its plate.
Yes.
And this is one of those things where, we hope that there's some lessons that are going on and some ability to learn this in school. I don't put that on them. I don't necessarily put it on any one individual. This is a societal thing. Mm-hmm. This is some that, you know, teachers and principals and people in school, along with parents and other, you know, adults, of the kids' friends and stuff, the examples we set, they're all over.
Yeah.
And again, these are sponges. They don't filter. It's like, well, I don't listen to this adult, but I listen to this one. No,
right.
they hear it all. They take it all in.
Yep.
And with that, the support we show to groups like this, we've, over the last couple of weeks, had a couple of different grades come in with their fact groups. Mm-hmm. And these are groups that are in school that are trying to put an end to vaping in schools and a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
And how passionate they are about this cause and how much they care about it. They had they came in, they were quite nervous. They left and they were very appreciative of adults hearing them.
Yeah.
Like, they were just so thankful for that. And to be honest with you, it as good as it felt, it also hurt me a little bit that, oh, they experienced this so little. Mm-hmm. that it's that noteworthy. Let's change that.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah, literally change that narrative. And as adults, be adults. Mm-hmm. And listen to kids, listen to the younger people more and everything. It's not only important and vital to our future. It's also how you can hear the newest hip cool words.
Right.
And you won't say hip cool words anymore.
Yeah.
No, I'm joking, but it is one of these ways where you are actually going to be that much more in tune with them and with, I think, just the world in general,
yeah.
Which is never a bad thing. There's no downsides to those or anything. When it comes to their feedback, when you're talking to these kids, when you're talking about respect in some of this, are you seeing support to this? Are you seeing them an open mind from their point of view on these subjects?
Yeah, definitely. I've worked at the family center for now about like 2.5 years. And even from when I first started to now, there's been an increase in more students that are coming up afterwards even and just saying like, hey, I really love the topic. This was something that's so important. I know of so many other people that could benefit from this. Like, what can I do then to help you and to help your guys' work? And so even just coming up to me afterwards, honestly, is such a big props that, like, I am hitting something in that person to have their ears open up just a little bit more to, you know, a harder concept sometimes, maybe something that's not exactly popular in everybody's eyes. But yeah, man, like the response has just been great. And I'm so thankful for those kiddos for stepping up and even asking those questions.
Yeah. Shout out to them. Shout out to them and certainly the schools and everybody involved with this,
yeah.
In opening their doors to this subject. I greatly appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Ashley, before we wrap up, we talk a little bit about Chefs for Change. Did you have any other notes, anything else you wanted to touch on?
Yeah, really. I think just to re-highlight what you just said, listen to the youth. They know a lot. It's their first time living, just like it was your guys' first time living that, you know, might be a little older than the youth that I work with. But they do know their stuff. A lot of times they're going to listen to other peers when stuff is happening. They're not going to go to adults right away. They're going to go to their friends. So these friends need to know how to help them. And just, again, just listen to them. That's really all they want. And you never know what can come out of that. And that's all I'm asking for.
Well said. Very well said. Ashley, I know that you and the staff over there at the Family Center are gearing up, getting ready for Chefs for Change. It's coming up February 27th. This is an incredible event. For those that have not heard about this one, it's an appetizer competition between local culinary talents, a delicious plated dinner highlighting local sourced ingredients, signature cocktails, an amazing silent auction. And I cannot stress that enough, an amazing silent auction.
Mm-hmm.
Our community comes out in folds for that one. All of this going on, the excitement begins at 5, going to have a cocktail hour where you can bid on treasures in the silent auction, savor those appetizers from these competitive chefs, and get ready for an amazing meal. You are going to enjoy this event. It'll be taking place over at the Nakusa Community Center at 416 Crestview Lane. I get very excited talking about this. I love this event. I love that it's back. Mm-hmm. I had the fortune of being able to MC it the last one we did.
Yeah.
And I hadn't done an event at the Family Center at the time. This is a cause that's been important to me and my family for a very long time. But until Deb and Sue kind of took me under their wing, I didn't really have a chance to do work with them. Mm-hmm. And when I walked into that room, I immediately saw our current mayor at the time. I saw the head of the Rafters, River King's representation. I saw Sheriff Becker. I saw our current police chief at the time right away. And everybody smiling, having a good time, and enjoyed that and enjoyed seeing these leaders. But what I enjoyed the most was leaving the event and seeing those same people interacting with other people and everybody on the right side of history.
Yeah, it's great when our community can come together for the events that we have or any kind of things that we're doing and we get that reciprocation back. We just love our community partners so much and we thank them so much.
Yeah, a shout out to Paper City Savings Bank and so many other great people a part of this. And obviously, certain a big shout out to the volunteers and so many of these chefs and everybody coming together for this one. Mm-hmm. While I tend to be a little serious. So I do lean on that a bit, but I don't want to get, you know, skate past the fact that this is a really fun event.
It's
a great experience. It's a great opportunity. Get out of the house, have some fun, enjoy some great food, mm-hmm. great appetizers. And while you're doing all of that, you're going to know whether it's in the front of your mind or the back of your heart, wherever it is, that I'm investing in our future. I'm investing in one of the most important things we can invest in. I will touch on this anytime I have an opportunity, let alone when the family center's in. Our domestic violence shelters have been, their funding has been slashed, just cut so much. And any opportunity we have to help and be a part of those things, it's vital to not only the work they're doing, but it's vital to the health of our community.
Yeah.
And our kids. As Ashley was just touching on, as CC, the earlier part of this conversation.
Yes.
Ashley, if people do have follow-up questions, they would like to know more. Maybe they'd like to even bring you into the classroom or something along those lines. How can they reach you? How can they find out more?
Yeah. Anybody is welcome to contact us for presentation needs or wants, to have an information table, like an event that's going on, or a resource table. Sometimes people call those. Or even just ask questions about like what abuse is, what you can do, or maybe even do some volunteer work. You can call our business line 715-421-1559 and ask for Ashley. You can also call our crisis hotline, which is kind of plastered all over the place. And then you can also email me. My email is pretty simple. It's svprevention@familyctr.org. And I can always respond back to that a little bit quicker too.
Yeah, I encourage you to do that, everybody. Keep in mind that we always use volunteers over at the Family Center, whether it's for Chefs for Change or other things going on over there. While not everybody has dollars and cents they can invest, some of us have an hour or two that you can invest in the Family Center. We greatly appreciate that. And again, Chefs for Change is coming up February 27th. And between us, everybody, get your tickets because they are going.
Yeah.
They are going fast. Get those tickets. Big shout out to Paper City Savings Bank. Everybody over at the Family Center working so hard on this event. And Ashley, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for inviting me again. We love coming here.
Looking forward to talking again real soon. Well, let's not wait so long next time.
Right,
maybe we'll get
you
back here sooner. FamilyCTR.org. FamilyCTR.org is the website. Be sure to follow them on social media as well. It's a great way to keep up to date on all the things they're doing at the Wisconsin Rapids Family Center. We'll be back with more Midday Magazine coming up.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Elon Musk putting in so much money that it drowns out other people's voices to decide who our next Supreme Court justice is. Whether or not you're going to vote Republican or Democrat or Schimmel or Crawford, your voice is getting drowned out by Elon Musk, a guy who has no business in Wisconsin. And you don't think that Brad Schimmel is going to be in Elon Musk's pocket? It's going to affect us in Wisconsin.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Teachers are dynamic leaders shaping a new generation. They bring a variety of perspectives from diverse backgrounds, innovating how they teach to prepare students for our fast-changing world. They're skilled experts discovering a universe of solutions, telling stories, inspiring, mentoring, connecting cultures, leading by example. Teaching is a journey that shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR. Maggie Dawn.
At 2 o'clock, Tom Paulswitz and I dig into DEI in the age of Trump. We share with you some of the things MLK said that you may never have heard of.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Marquette University professor and pollster extraordinaire Charles Franklin.
Deporting immigrants who are in the U.S. illegally. 60% support that. But when we ask the same question and just add at the end, including those with jobs and no criminal record, then support drops to just 43%.
Wisconsinites have a sense of fairness.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320 AM. W248DE Wisconsin Rapids. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News special report. President Trump says a framework deal involving Ukraine's minerals is close.
It's a very big deal. Look, it could be a $1 trillion deal. It could be whatever, but it's rare earths and other things.
On whether Ukrainian President Zelensky will travel here to sign the deal, Trump said he may come on Friday.
It's okay with me if he'd like to, and he would like to sign it together with me, and I understand that's a big deal.
Trump said the deal will help the U.S. recoup some of the money it's spent on Ukraine's defense.
See, because, you know, Biden was throwing money around like it's cotton candy. We want to get that money back. We're helping a country through a very, very big problem, a problem like very few people have had. Shouldn't have had this problem because it shouldn't have happened, but it did happen.
Ukraine ranks 40th in the world among mineral producing countries. Asked about the Kremlin's comments that it had not approved the idea of peacekeepers for Ukraine, Trump said some form would be needed. CBS News special report. I'm Cammie McCormick.
Coming up on the next Midday Magazine, we welcome Chad Schooley from the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department in part one and our friends from the ODC in part two. It's 4 to 5 on 97.5 FM WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Portage County officers were able to reunite a family thanks to Project Lifesaver. Derek Tritz has the story.
Equipment from Project Lifesaver was key in locating a lost youth this past weekend, according to the Plover Police Department. They were found in a dumpster behind a gas station by officers.